Mercy and truth have met. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. Welcome to church. I'm so glad you're here. I always look forward to being here at church. I have grown to love Advent. This is a rather new development in my life. I've spent most of my days dreading the month between Thanksgiving and Christmas because of holiday-inspired angst. I suspect I'm not the only one. When will I get up the decorations? I am not one of those who decorates the day after Thanksgiving. My neighborhood is filled with those. May God bless them. It has a way of making me feel so inadequate and anxious. Will I find the right gifts? How about that electronic potato peeler that's also an MP3 player? A lifetime supply of lavender sachet. Now, who wouldn't want that? I know a foot massager. They're everywhere in the department stores. Everyone on my list would surely love a sonic foot massager. If you were planning to give any of those, I'm sorry, I apologize for spoiling it. If you were planning on giving any of those, I think we should have a conversation. Every year I have promised myself that I will not go nuts. Every year I have said, this year I will be stress-free for the holidays. Some years I do better than others. But all the while, in the church, in the background, is quietly and consistently offering the antidote. It is in the form of an alternative narrative, because the prevailing narrative is buy, 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 spend, 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 go give, eat, and bake. I just made that up now. It's a great narrative. But like so many of our conventional narratives, it only goes so deep. It really is rather shallow, and there is so much more to this time of year for us that you can't get on Amazon.com. You can only get it here at church. However much the secular world utterly dismisses us, we are the keepers of mystery and wonder. You may know the late poet Madeline L'Engle. She was a poet and novelist, very popular. You may know that she was an Episcopalian. So was her family. As a matter of fact, her son-in-law, Alan Jones, was the longtime dean of Grace Cathedral in San Francisco. So Madeline has some serious Anglican pedigrees. She wrote these lines about Advent. This is the irrational season when love blooms bright and wild. Had Mary been filled with reason, there'd have been no room for the child. If Mary had been filled with reason. We tend to forget how irrational all this is. God became human. It's so simple to say, but it really is quite difficult to believe. The very concept of infinite being coming into any part of creation, much less human, is difficult to believe. And just to say, God is God, and whatever God wants to do, God can do, that does violence to the incarnation. That kind of thinking minimizes what happened that first Christmas. Consider how an ancient Christian theologian thought about God. Consider Anselm of Canterbury. Were he alive today, he'd be 990 years old. Anselm struggled about what to say about God. He decided on this phrase, "God is that greater than which nothing can be thought." So you stretch your mind as far as it can go, like trying to figure out where the universe ends. And that's where God begins. God is that greater than which nothing can be thought. That makes God inconceivable. And yet God was conceived in Mary's womb. It is irrational, says the poet. We worry about how acceptable this irrational God is. Who could believe such things? How can you even expect anyone to really believe such fantastical things? The late Phyllis Tickle, a popular Christian author, talks about how difficult it was for our ancestors to accept that the earth is round like a ball. The only way we can begin to understand this, she says, is to realize that the world was flat so long as our forebears thought it was flat. Its being round, she says, was simply not within their imagining, and therefore was beyond their engagement. That's the key right there, engagement. Engage with. It's the key to accepting what seems irrational, whether the earth is round like a ball or that infinite love came among us as human. The only way we can begin to engage with is through the power of poetry and myth. Not in the sense of untruth or fairy tale, but in the sense of truth beyond our comprehension. Engage the story. That's what we do during Advent. We engage with Jesus and Mary and John the Baptizer. Especially with John. When his aged mother, Elizabeth, was found to be with child, her husband was so dumbstruck that he was, well, struck dumb. For the entire term of his life's pregnancy, he regained his voice only when John was born. That right there might be a poetic flourish, you know? The fact that a man could be struck mute just for not believing that his wife was pregnant. And yet look at what it tells us. The larger truth is that silence is a very appropriate response around such wonders as God with us. John lived an unusual life. He lived in the desert where mystics long before him had gone and long after him continue to go. There he spent his days immersed in God, soaking up God, listening to God, speaking with God. So that when he came out of the desert, he had something to say. He actually had something worth saying. So many messages today aren't worth saying. They're not worth hearing. They're not worth engaging with or getting worked up over. This is the tyranny of the superficial and the trivial, and it is unfortunately the watermark of our age. But John the Baptizer had something worth saying, and it resonated. Our gospel text says people came from the whole Judean countryside to hear him. And people from Jerusalem came to hear him. That's a killer demographic. You don't get better than that. The countryside would be like today's red states in our political maps, more rural, conservative. Jerusalem would be the blue, urban, liberal. And John spoke to them all, and what he said was simple. He said, repent. Somehow that message just never wears out. Repent means to turn around. It means stop. You have to stop before you turn around. Just stop. Turn around and see God. Because we always tend to see God in the rearview mirror. We tend to see what God has done in our lives, right? So if we just stop and turn around, perhaps we can see God more fully. Repent also means get real with ourselves. Everyday life humbles us. We don't have to work at it. It does it to us, just naturally. No great penance is required for us to experience our limitations, our shortcomings, our liabilities. No great penance, just a little self-awareness. Add into that mix a little bit of insight, and we can see how our limitations and shortcomings hurt others. We can hurt and wound and confuse those we love most, never meaning to. It means we're human. It means we have a constant need for God. Jesuit James Martin says, it's a grace to know one's sinfulness. I like that. I'm going to start using that in my Advent devotions. Stop, turn around, see God, get real with yourself. These are the themes of Advent, along with waiting and eager expectancy. Advent teaches that our attitude towards God should always be eager expectancy. Because every time a channel is made in our lives, for God, God comes. Every time our hearts are open to God, God enters. Every time God comes to us and enters anew, it is with a fresh gift of divine life. Evelyn Underhill, the revered Anglican mystic and author, says, "We should think of the whole power and splendor of God as always pressing in upon our small souls." We should think of the whole power and splendor of God always pressing on our small souls. How can this be? It is irrational. Quite honestly, it's scandalous. This is the irrational season, when love blooms bright and wild. Had Mary been filled with reason, there'd have been no room for the child.